And hello, everybody. This is John Moore. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas, and this is my first submission for Blind Cool Tech. I run a podcast of my own called John Moore's Audio Blog, for those of you that also listen to that. I thought that I would give you an introduction to the service that I use to publish my podcast. I had a recording where I demonstrated setting it up, and I demonstrated setting up an account and how to create a podcast feed, but I somehow lost it. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I deleted the recording from my iTunes library, intending to go back to it and edit it in Amadeus, but it's not there anymore. And so I'm not sure what happened. If anybody could help me out with that, I would be really grateful. Apparently, if you delete stuff that Audio Hijack makes from your iTunes library, it deletes it from the computer, which I'm not sure why, but I am a Macintosh user. The program that I'm using to record this is Amadeus Pro, which is my editor. It's because I don't need voiceover talking, because I don't have any more email addresses to set up accounts with. So I can't do another demo. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain to you what GCast is and try to give you an overview of how it works. And encourage you to I would encourage you to explore this on your own. So anyway, what is GCast? GCast is a service that is run by the same people who run, if you've ever heard of GarageBand.com, it's a place for unsigned artists to put their music up. Unsigned and emerging artists to put their music up. And it's actually pretty cool because they have charts, and so somebody can actually have like a number one hit on GarageBand for like the most downloaded song in a certain genre. There's all these different genres you can get. It's really, really neat. And they're not covers. They're all independent. They're all songs that these people wrote. The idea of GCast is to make it was one, to make podcasting simple, and it is very simple. Two is to allow for artists to get their voices heard on people's podcasts. Because when you sign up with GCast, you get access. You also get a GarageBand.com account, because GCast is GarageBand's sister site. You get your account automatically created on GarageBand as well. Now, if you set up an account on GarageBand, you don't get a GCast podcast. So, if you want to get a GCast podcast and a GarageBand thing, you have to sign up on GCast, and then when you're on GarageBand, you can log in using your GCast username and password and have access to stuff. And it allows you to, when you do that, anytime you see a song you like, when you're searching, there will be a link below it that will say, like, add to playlist or publish to podcast. I haven't done it. I haven't actually done it because I don't usually use the Podsafe Music Network. I don't usually use the GarageBand. I've listened to some of the music that's on GarageBand, and I personally find a lot of it kind of bad quality. But that's just me. I mean, if you like indie music, GarageBand is definitely a great place to go. Because that's what they specialize in, is indie music. Now, let me give you an orientation to GCast real quick. Like I said, GCast is run by the same people who run GarageBand. And there are you can do quite a bit with it. First of all, when you create an account, you automatically get an XML feed created that is called, like, if your screen name was, JD7163, it would be JD7163's podcast. Now, you can change the name of it, which mine was called Coaster Freak 88's podcast until I went in there and changed it. So I'm going to give the setup process to you basically at a glance. Again, I'm not going to demonstrate setting up an account. I'll leave that to somebody else. The website that you go to is gcast.com. Okay, that's gcast.com. There are four steps. Well, people say there's three, but I consider one of them a fourth. You click on the link that says sign up. Now, I think it's sign up now, it's free or something like that. And what you do first is you supply them your email address, if you're a U.S. resident, you supply your zip code, because that's a really cool feature, which I'll get to in a minute. And you give them a username and a password. And by the way, there is no CAPTCHA on this site, not even a graphic one. So this is one of the few CAPTCHA-free ways of signing up for a site. It is CAPTCHA-free. They do it. They do their security check through email confirmation. And so what you'll do first is you will create your account. You'll tell them you accept the user agreement. You'll create your account. Then you have to confirm your email. You'll get an email that says, for security reasons, you must confirm that this is your own email address or something to that effect. And so after you confirm your email, your account is created. And by the way, it does not let you change your screen name. Or at least not that I've found. It does not let you change your screen name. So you better have something that you're happy with. You can change your password and your email address and all that, but you cannot change your screen name. So now that you have the account creation stuff out of the way, your podcast will basically be ready to be produced. It'll be called, like, whatever your screen name is, apostrophe S podcast. So, like, if your screen name was, I hope I don't have to pay too steep royalties for this, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's like, say if your screen name was DJC123, you would go, it would be called DJC123's podcast. Now, what I recommend you do is as the next step, I mean, your account has been created. You can start podcasting now if you want. But what I recommend that you do next is you click on, from your account homepage, you click on Edit Podcast Channel, okay? And what you can do in here is the first thing you do is you give it a title, which you can change the title. You give it a description, and you can upload a photo, and you can submit it. You can submit your podcast to iTunes and put it under different categories. I have chosen not to submit my podcast to iTunes. I don't want to be that public, because I know if I had iTunes, plus, you know, a lot of people that listen to podcasts hosted by GCast are expecting indie music, which I don't do. I'll explain what my podcast is after this and what it's about. But anyway, so what you do is you edit the information in there, and at first, I thought that the podcast channel page opened up in a new window, but it doesn't. You also need to make sure that if you do tabs, you need to, before you confirm your email, you'll be on a page where you can, like, name your podcast and stuff like that. You need to make sure that is closed if you're doing tab browsing. You need to close that tab. So that way, when you confirm your email, you'll get the page where it says you're now a registered member or something like that when you click on the link in the email. And there is a file size limit of, I believe, 200 or 250 megabytes. I had to learn it the hard way. Nobody told me there was a file size limit. And I didn't really have to worry about it because I usually don't record files that big, although I tried to upload one that was almost 300 megs and it didn't upload. Your files are required to be 44.1 128 kbps stereo. That is the only format that they will take. And I like that because if you're going to upload audio from your computer, that's really the way to do it. So that's how they do it, is they only take 44.1 128 kbps stereo. Now, what will happen when you upload a file from your computer is that, for one thing, it is kind of slow, so you do need to be patient with it. Depending on how big the file is, it could take up to an hour or two. Usually my files average around 60 to 70 megs, and I say it takes about 30 to 45 minutes. And the way you do that is you click on the Upload New Audio page from your account page. And you have the ability to create multiple podcast channels. You have a primary one, but say you're involved in a multimedia ministry at your church or a synagogue or whatever, and you want to, say, put the sermons up via podcast, but you want to do it where it's free and you don't have to pay for bandwidth on your own servers and, you know, set up a feed. You can use your GCast account as basically the master account and specify, you know, hey, I want this to be published to a particular podcast channel. I've forgotten how to make it so that you can publish to a secondary. I think you actually have to go in and choose which one you want it to be published to. But you can have more than one. And that is a really neat feature of it because people who want to have, like, say they want to have one podcast totally devoted to music and one podcast totally devoted to talk, they can do that. It is a really cool idea. And it's also very simple to do. You can click on Create New Podcast Channel from your account homepage, and you can create one. It will automatically create the XML feed for you. It also integrates some stuff, like if you use... I can't remember what all the supported readers are. I believe it's Google is one, Yahoo, NewsGator, basically the RSS readers. There are a couple of web-based RSS readers that it supports. And when you get a GCast podcast and people visit it, there will be links in there that will say, add to my NewsGator or whatever that is. I haven't actually used a web-based RSS reader, so that's why I don't know a lot about them. I use Mac Mail as a built-in RSS reader. If you click on the iTunes link and the podcast isn't on iTunes, it'll still subscribe you through iTunes, but it doesn't have I don't have an iTunes store page. And so all that would happen is that, you know, the one-click subscription would still work, but you wouldn't be able to, like, write reviews or do anything like that because I don't have an iTunes store URL. So you would have to either know my XML feed, which I will give out at the end of this podcast, or you'll need to search for... I'm sorry. Or you'll need to go in and... do it directly from the page. And I might also add, too, that the XML feed addresses on GCast are very long. That's why I recommend that you submit yours to whatever services you choose. Like, I have... I'm on Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, Podnova. I think GCast submitted my podcast to something called the Pod Lounge. And I'm on a couple of the internet podcast directories, and they provide direct XML links. And so you can, like, if you're using Juice, you know what to do. You right click and you go down to copy shortcut, and then you go in there and paste it. But if you choose to type in your feed from the... If you choose to type in the feed, you have to remember quite a lot. It's because, first of all, your main page will be http://www.gcast.com/u/whatever your username is. And if you want to add an XML, if you want to do the XML feed, you add /main.xml. I think if you have more than one, I think it's even longer. I do have more than one, but I haven't messed with my other one in years. Because I tried a thing when I first ran my podcast to where people that listen to me on GigaDial, I would try to give them episodes that I didn't publish to the other one. But I gave up on that. The channel's still there, but I forgot what it is. But I think the URL for the secondary channel is a lot longer. So you need to be aware that they are very, very long URLs. And that's why you need to try and submit your podcast to as many internet directories as you can. I haven't gotten any reviews on any of them or anything like that, but I'm there. And so those of you that go to like Podcast Alley or Podnova or Podcast Pickle. Is that one even still around anymore? Search for John Moore's audio blog, and that's JohnMoore / audio blog, and the XML feed should be accessible from the page that's on it. Now, I do have to admit it, though. Some of them are probably behind in the episode updating because I have not logged in to a lot of those directories in a long time. And so you may see stuff up there that is not available anymore on the podcast. Just subscribe to the XML feed, and you'll have access to my recent podcasts. A lot of the podcasts that are up on those directories are from when I first recorded it 2 years ago. So the way that you... Okay, so back to my original subject. I'm sorry I got off on that. Back to my original subject. When you upload audio, after it gets uploaded, it will convert the 128K file that you send them into a lower bitrate version for people that are on dial-up, and also for people who, there's a GCast feature where when you put your podcasts up and people visit your page, the most recent file is going to stream in their web browser. And for those of you that use, I don't know how the latest versions of JAWS and WindowEyes will handle this. But pressing the escape key will not stop it, okay? That may have changed in the year or two since I've done it, but that may have changed. I mean, VoiceOver totally mutes it, and so that's all there is to it. Yeah, VoiceOver totally mutes it. They've made it, I don't know how it does it, but when it starts streaming... It doesn't play. The files don't play like they should, and that's not a bad thing. I like that. So it gets converted into a lower bitrate version. So there is a bit of a delay in uploading. After it gets uploaded, depending on how big the file is, their automated system has to convert it to the lower bitrate version, and then they put the higher bitrate version up there for bandwidth. For people that have higher bandwidth, I think it detects what kind of connection you have. And then the main files that are up on the feed are the high bitrate versions, and then the streaming version is the one that's the lower bitrate. Or if you're on dial-up, you have the lower bitrate version available to you. But they are very high quality. That system does a very good job. It doesn't edit files or anything like that. It just converts it, and so there will be a little bit of a delay. when you, because it'll say upload received, but then my files usually tend to take about, I would say, 10 or 20 minutes after that to convert, because it to convert to the lower bitrate version, and then it posts them automatically. Another thing you can do is you can add your things instead of to your primary podcast, to you can add them to a master playlist that you have available to you, and you can publish directly from the master playlist. That part is unfortunately not accessible, publishing directly from the playlist. But that's how people that would do Podsec Music, I think that feature is intended more for them. And also your master playlist also contains every podcast that you've ever done. You can, if you want to do like a best of show, you can go back into your archives and, you know, dig up some old highlights. Another feature that you can use on GCast is you can post by phone. And that is the last step that you do in podcast creation, if you choose to do it, is you register by phone. What you got to do is you got to give them the primary telephone number you'll be calling from and a 4-digit PIN. And you call 1-888-65-GCAST. Okay, that's 1-888-65-GCAST. Although I think it's a yeah, it is. Yeah, 1-888-65-GCAST. You'll be asked to, if it detects that it's your primary phone number, all you'll have to do is enter your phone PIN. Call from any other number that it doesn't know, and it will ask you to enter your phone number as your ID. Your primary phone number is your ID. And then you press pound, and you have. I think you can take as long as you need to. I've done, 20 or 30 minute ramblings over the phone back in the days when I did it. And it depends on how good your connection is. And then after you're done, you press pound again, and you have the option of either publishing directly to your podcast or adding it to your master playlist. The phone recordings are okay. They are of a lower bitrate. They sound like, I would say it's a little bit higher than the average telephone quality, but it's not, it's still, you can hear static in the background, and you can tell somebody's talking on the, you can tell he's talking on the phone. And if you have a cell phone, your connection is going to affect it directly. I had been cut off before. I had been cut off before without being able to, and I had to call them back and record again. If you remember back when Kevin Wasmer had his feed, in fact, he and Scott Spaulding, without realizing it, were the people that introduced me to GCast because of what they were doing with it. At first, I thought you had to pay for it, and then I went to the site and checked it out, and it was free, and I'd been wanting to set up my own podcast ever since I started listening to BCT, and I had tried doing FeedBurner and Blogger and stuff like that, and I had trouble with it. So I went with GCast, and I've been satisfied ever since. Some blind podcasters that use GCast, well, Kevin Wasmer used to use GCast when his variety show podcast used to be up there before he moved to Blogger. And then Scott Spaulding of Scott's Podcast, he's the guy that podcasts the NFB conventions. And I hope you don't mind if I mention these names on the podcast. I'm giving people examples of people that are already using it. Let's see, who else? Kelly Sapergia. I don't know if he still uses GCast or not. Let's see, who else is there? Carrie of the Carrie Live from Everywhere podcast, she used it. So there are GCast is, in my view, a little known gem in the podcast community, because you can actually, because it's free. They will tell you that eventually they're going to have you pay for ad-free podcasts, but there are no audio or video ads on your podcasts. I imagine there are if you upload PodSafe Music or something like that, but there are no audio or video ads. This is ad-free, and you can and like I said, there are three different options for publishing. You can either do PodSafe Music, upload by phone, or upload from your computer. And so that is your basic GCast overview. If I've left anything out, please let me know, and I'll record a second part. And before I go, though, I thought I would tell you a little bit about my podcast and what it is. John Moore's audio blog is just that. It's an audio blog, but it's different because I don't like record and ramble a lot. My podcast, now tomorrow night we are going to have a podcast to make up for the fact that there was no podcast on Sunday. We're going to have one tomorrow night to make up for it by I'm going to have a friend of mine on, and we're going to have a Skype conversation just about whatever we want to talk about. You know, anything from social issues in the blind community to, you know, to the Mac, because we're both I'm a power user of the Mac, and he's transitioning. I have no more Windows equipment. Actually, I have no more Windows equipment. I've gone exclusively Mac, and I'm really, really happy with it. Oh, somebody else I forgot to mention that uses GCast that I actually helped out. I helped him set it up. Lino Morales, I think that's how you say his name. The Sharing God's Word podcast with the Daily Devotions, they use GCast. He and Louie use GCast. I remember because it was because I think he had emailed me. He had emailed one of the lists about GCast, and I was able to help him out. And there's a guy named John Hess. I don't know if he has a podcast. I don't know if he ever went through with creating a podcast up there or not. But anyway, that's that. And it's a compilation. John Moore's audio blog is a compilation of, basically, I record things that I do. I have a Zoom H2, which I absolutely love, that I bought in April. I had been looking for a recorder that I could record sound seeing tours on ever since I heard him on Blind Cool Tech. I remember at first I wanted an Edirol R1, couldn't get that, or an R9. And so my parents bought me those Church Audio binaural mics, and the preamp. But the RCA recorder that they got me to hook up to my computer was incompatible with the binaurals. And so, well, it wasn't incompatible, it was a mono recorder. There was no stereo option. And so I went for about a year, without having any kind of microphone, without having any kind of microphones. Or recorder. I still have my Church Audio mic somewhere, but I'm not sure where they are. I should try them with the Zoom H2, see how they sound. But the Zoom H2 has such fabulous internal microphones, I don't know if I'll need to do that. Or the preamp. But I've still got them. In fact, if I find them and I decide to, if anybody wants the Church Audio mics, I will be happy to give them to I'll be happy to give them to somebody if I don't think I have a use for them now. But I might experiment. And so then I took the microphones down to when I was at the Louisiana Center for the Blind, and I bought an Olympus DS2. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Oh my gosh. But it was all that I could afford at that time. And plus, it was all that was out. I bought it in like January. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I bought it in January of 07, and I was disgusted with it. Not only did it not have enough memory, but I couldn't get the binaurals to work on it properly. I wasn't sure what I was doing wrong. And plus, people got mad when I tried to record them. I exchanged that. We took it back to Radio Shack, and in, we took it back to the Radio Shack in Ruston where I bought it. And then I bought, Mom and Dad bought me an Olympus DS50 for my 19th birthday. They bought me an Olympus DS50. And I used that for a long time as my primary recorder. But for one thing, I didn't like the quality of the DS50. And I didn't have the time back then to convert from WMA to MP3 to upload. But I continued to use it because I liked the talking menus and things like that. And then I went to Lions World Services for the Blind in Arkansas and took it with me. And last November, I lost it somehow. I'm not sure how I lost it. And when it came back to me, it was damaged beyond repair. I'm not sure what had happened to it, but it didn't work at all. The stereo mic was missing. So, I didn't have a recorder, again, because Mom and Dad wouldn't buy me one. But they kept giving me money. You know, they would give me little stipends to have to put in my account at Lions World. And my they would put it in my bank account, and basically, like, if I wanted to go out to eat or something. But Shane Jackson, back in January of this year, I started listening to his podcast, and I wonder what in the world that recorder was, that fabulous recorder was. And then I found out on one of his later ones that it was the Zoom H2. So I decided after some decision making, after some debating, to buy one. In fact, I will never forget the day it arrived, because the day before we had had some really bad storms in Little Rock. There had been some flooding in certain areas and things like that, and yet the Zoom H2 managed to arrive on time at 10:30 p.m. that night. It was April 3rd. And I got it, they brought it to Lions World the very next day, and I started using it pretty much right out of the box. Friday night I didn't use it at all. I had nothing to use it with. But Saturday morning, I just opened it, started using it. And the first recording I made was a recording of me walking to breakfast and eating, but I decided not to publish that one. But I listened to Neil Ewer's podcast, learned how to use it, basically. And now that's the one I'm using. And I'm really, really happy with it, because it records direct to MP3 and I can upload them. But yes, they're made in the two-channel surround mode of the Zoom H2. There's mostly church services from the various Episcopal churches that I've attended, except for Redeemer Ruston, which was Church of the Redeemer in Ruston, Louisiana. I had made those recordings with my DS50. There's a couple of services from Trinity Cathedral in Little Rock, and there's one from Christ Church Little Rock, and then there's a bunch from All Saints Episcopal Church in Fort Worth. There's also some other recordings up there. There's a restaurant podcast where me and one of the priests at Trinity Cathedral and my confirmation sponsor went out to lunch one day, and we went to the Dixie Cafe, and I podcasted that. And then I also did, I recorded an arena football game that I went to with my friend, with a bunch of people from Lions World. The main voices you hear on that recording are me and my friend Ed and the recreation director. My confirmation service is up there. There's a recording of a hayride, so Don Ball, you weren't the first to do a hayride podcast. There's one up on mine. It's a tour hayride. It's not a haunted hayride. We were touring this thing called the Heifer Ranch, which is, I think it's like an hour's drive outside of Little Rock. And I recorded the hayride. And that was also an experimental recording. So if you choose to listen to that one, I turned the levels up and down a lot. I turned the mic attenuation up a lot. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said levels. I turned the mic attenuation up and down a lot. Even though I had the windscreen on, I was worried about winds. And so occasionally it sounds like it's dropping out of... You know, it sounds like it's dropping out, but it's being recorded. I probably shouldn't have put that up there, but I decided to, just to show off what I had. The recording from Christ Church is probably the best recording I have ever made. It was a recording of a comp line service. Comp line is, you know, before bedtime prayer. They had a service of sung comp line every Sunday night where a select group from their choir would sing the service of comp line. It was about 15 minutes long. It's about 15 minutes long. And the Zoom H2, okay, for I was sitting in a horrible place, I might add. I was sitting on the front row in the transept. And so the choir was to my left. But the main really cool thing about it is that the way the Zoom did it, you actually feel like the choir is right in front of you. I mean, it recorded a 360-degree two-channel thing. And it did such an awesome job. I mean, all of the recordings I make, I think, are pretty good. But that comp line recording is probably the best that I have ever done. It's very soothing. If you are going through a lot and you just need to relax, I suggest that if you subscribe to my podcast, you download that one and not delete it, because that it's really, really soothing. There's a lot of like old style chanting in it, and there's some really gorgeous singing. And all you hear is the choir. I mean, sure, you hear the occasional cough from the congregation, but all you hear is the choir, and there are readings in the service. There's a reading from the gospel, and then there's a couple of prayers that are said, but it's mostly sung. And I think that you will thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, the Zoom H2 just did a fantastic job with that recording. It did very well in that environment. That was an old stone building that was built in 1909. And it is fabulous. You feel like you're in a church three times its size. And believe it or not, Christ Church was not as big as the Cathedral Church. No, I'm sorry, it was bigger than the Diocese Cathedral, which is the one I went to. There are three services from Trinity up there. One of them's a low mass, and two of them are regular masses. One of them was my confirmation service. And then the rest of them are from All Saints Episcopal Church. If you like good organ music, then you should check mine out, because there's a lot of really good organ music up there. And I did not doctor the Zoom any. You know, I didn't turn any limiters on or bass roll off or anything like that. I set my Zoom down on the railing and let it record. And and you'll see what an awesome job it does. But I still think that comp line recording is my favorite one. But anyway, I've rambled long enough about my podcast. I thought I would just give you an overview of what I did with it. If you want to know more, you can subscribe. I'll give you the XML feed now. I'll try to be slow. It is http://www.gcast.com/u/coasterfreak88. That's CoasterFreak88 /main.xml. Okay? That is the XML link. Now, if you want to visit the podcast page, then you don't add /main.xml to it. It's www.gcast.com/u/coasterfreak88. That's the main page. The most recent podcast should start streaming. Another thing that you can do if you just want to download individual episodes and not subscribe to the feed, is you can actually have it automatically send you an email whenever a new episode is uploaded, and then the link to the episode is going to be in the email. And then you got the RSS readers, and then you got the XML. So that is your basic GCast overview and your introduction to my podcast. Again, if you want the XML feed, I'll go ahead and give that to you one more time. It's http://www.gcast. And by the way, that's the letter G, gcast.com facebook.com/u/coasterfreak88 CoasterFreak88 /main.xml. Okay, that's the XML feed. And I encourage you, when you subscribe, download all of them. Okay, download all of them. I know that sounds odd, but if you want, the Compline recording will not download because it's not a new episode. It's been up there since April. But I suggest that you download all of them, and you can hear the different recordings that I made, including there's two from the State Fair of Texas that I'm going to apologize in advance for the clipping that is involved in those recordings, because it was an experiment, and I didn't get it all recorded because of some errors I made, but I was experimenting, and that some of the things I was doing was probably not a good idea, like trying to use my windbreaker as a windscreen was probably not a good idea, and some other things too. Some parts of it are really muffled, and some parts of it are not, and so at some point I'm talking right into it, and so it clips it, and I'm sorry about that. I may take those off, I may not. I'll leave them up there for now for y'all to listen to. But the next time I record a carnival, which will probably be in January, next time I podcast a carnival, I will try to do better. But that was the first time I'd done it, and there's a first time for everything. So that's going to wrap it up for this one. I'll go ahead and give you my contact info. If you want to email me, my email address is coasterfreak88@mac.com, because I'm a mobile me user, which means my Mac is tied into the Apple servers. But because I was a .Mac customer before they switched to mobile me, I was allowed to keep my Mac.com email. You can also use coasterfreak88@me.com, just me.com. It'll go to the same inbox. I prefer people to use @mac.com, but that's up to you. It will go to the same inbox either way. And be aware that you may be blocked by Apple. I have no control over. They don't let me access my junk mail folder, and they don't. If I want to unblock somebody, I have to add them to my address book, or send emails to them very frequently. So that way, they know they can. It's like they're tailoring it down to who I send emails to. But I can receive emails from most anybody. So if y'all want to email me, you can do that. It's coasterfreak88@mac.com or @me.com. And also, if you want to Skype me, my Skype username is also coasterfreak88. That's coasterfreak88. I know I'm spelling this a lot, but you'd be surprised at how many people get confused. But if you're going to do that, please let me know in advance. And I'm also not in Skype me mode, and so I'll have to. I prefer to add people. Or if you want to add me, but if you're going to add me, please tell me who you are. Okay? And if you want to talk, email me in advance, so that way we can talk over it. Because I prefer people to either notify me or I call you. So, if you want to talk over Skype, please let me know. I'm also on Facebook. I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth network as John Moore. That's M-O-O-R-E. And it, you may have to do some searching before you can find me. I'm the guy that has close to 600 friends. I don't know if, because there's a couple of other people named John Moore in the Dallas-Fort Worth Network, so you'll have to send some invitations out before you find me. And I'm on Blink Nation, Disa Boom, and the Zone BBS, but I very rarely log into those things anymore. Blink Nation I haven't logged into in a few months. I'm primarily a Facebook user. And by the way, my opinions on the new Facebook right quick before I close. In VoiceOver, I found that I actually get better navigation with VoiceOver than I did with the old Facebook. I know JAWS, I think somebody was telling me that JAWS tended to get really slow with the new layout, and It's just my experience is that voiceover works very, very well with it, and I hardly have any problems with it. And so I wasn't happy with it at first, but I am now, and I'm really glad they did it. So anyway, that is going to wrap it up for this podcast. Again, if you wanna contact me, you can email me or Skype me or add me to Facebook. And so I'm going to go ahead and so we're going to go ahead and end this podcast. And if you have any further questions, feel free to email me or Skype me. And I will talk to you guys later.